When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One of the things that we've worked really hard on is remaining a passer inside of the pocket. You know, when I do, he's got legs to move. And so for him, remaining a passer longer, the guys, you know, stay in coverage longer, the receivers down the field working. So I think that part of the game, there's been improvement, and I would say we're still progressing in that spot. He came in with a really rock-solid background, so for me, it's the things that don't show up on the stat sheet. It's checking to the right play. It's getting to the right protection. It's taking care of the football with great decisions. So for us to be, I don't know, maybe we're +4 or +5, you know, sitting at this part of the year with a, you know, quarterback who hasn't done it before, I think that says a lot to, you know, his ability to make good decisions. And
Daniels has been making good decisions all season with the football. Rarely ever puts it in harm's way. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan, kicking off the second of what is going to be 4+ hours today. Show's brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad. They're going to help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Double play at 3:45, and then we're giving away Wizards tickets at 4, Caps tickets at 5, right here on the Fan. What time did you go to bed last night?
12:45.
Oh, you stayed up late?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a day that after we got into the airport at like 2 in the morning previously, got up with the kids. It was my son's birthday. So I could not wait to go to bed. It was one of the first times ever I beat my wife upstairs. I said, I'm going to be in bed.
I'm headed up.
You have a great night. That never happens.
I know. All I wanted to do was go to sleep, but I was, for some reason, like a last bit of brain wired, freaked out. You know, I was overtired probably. It's one of those things where like I probably missed my window, but I was exhausted. I slept great until, you know, 7 o'clock this morning or whatever. But yeah, I think tonight it'll hit me.
Could be your night.
Yeah.
How about this little fun fact? I don't believe this at all. I'm going to say it anyway, because it's being passed around the internet as if it's true. I just saw it, so I have not had time to corroborate it. But I believe that this is the craziest stat any of us will hear today. Via NFL notifications, which is not an account that means anything to me. If it's fake, then tell me. Lamar Jackson has never played the Pittsburgh Steelers in Baltimore when there are fans in the stands. Which is another way of saying that the only time he's ever played the Steelers in Baltimore was during the pandemic year, probably. How is that possible? The Steelers have come to Baltimore every single year Lamar Jackson's been in the league. And I know he's missed time, and he gets banged up, and he misses games most years. But that means that 6 times when the Steelers have been in Baltimore, he has not played in the game. And that only in 1 year in 2020 was Pittsburgh there when he was the quarterback. And in that year, he was playing, there was no crowd behind him yet making any noise.
So they played in week 18 last year, and Jackson sat. Didn't play because they'd already clinched and were, you know, I think the number one overall seed.
2023.
Yeah, that was last year. So I'm just, I've literally gone back 1 year to figure it. So it stuff like that probably is in there. The illness thing. He has, seems to always be sick or, you know, whether he's been injured or something like that. That is the weirdest stat you could ever imagine.
How is that possible?
Yeah, I'm looking at StatsMuse here, which is a pretty cool stats site that you just type in his name and say versus Pittsburgh. And pretty much all, his entire stat line versus Pittsburgh is all at Pittsburgh, except for it looks like he had one pass in his rookie year in 2018 versus Pittsburgh at home. Other than that, the only other home game was indeed in 2020 during the pandemic.
Yeah, injured two straight years, sat because they clinched last year.
Do you believe that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking it up right now. That's insane.
No, I mean, I don't mean, do you actually think it's true, which you're corroborating?
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying... Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy. That's hard to do. Now, you see how we got there. It took a freakish set of events. Like, it would have happened last year. Sorry, Baltimore's record was too good. so then he sits. The injury thing
By the way, that's one way to have the amazing win-loss record that he has.
Yeah.
The time that you played the best team in your division and your arch rival, once out of every two games, your entire career, you haven't played. Not to Joan on him, but you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. So here's 2019.
I need you in those games, man.
Well, 2019, they'd already clinched, and he sat in that one too.
Wow.
I think the team was 14-2 in 2019, and they were 13-2 going into the last week, and they didn't need it. And it happened to be against Pittsburgh.
So that streak ends this weekend.
Yeah, there you go.
Because the Ravens host the Steelers in probably the best game on the slate. 4:30 kickoff in Baltimore. That would be a fun game to be at, I got to tell you. Now, Washington's got a big one in their own right at home on the same day at 1 o'clock, so we got bigger fish to fry here.
That game's actually on Saturday.
Is this a Saturday game?
Yeah, this is a Saturday game between the Steelers and the Ravens.
No reason not to go to that one. This schedule this weekend, I forgot, is like every week there's two.
It's the weird one, yeah.
So we have Thursday, Broncos-Chargers, which is actually significant. Even though the Chargers have not been playing as well the last few weeks, 8-6, chasing down Denver, 9-5, two playoff hopefuls as wild cards out of the AFC West. So that's coming up tomorrow on Thursday Night Football. Then we have two games on Saturday, Texans-Chiefs, which should have been a better game than it's probably going to be. Like, I feel like when they scheduled that, the idea was the old dog in the AFC, Kansas City, and the new kid on the block, 11-3, Houston. And now it's like the Texans are not as good as they're supposed to be. The Chiefs somehow win every single week.
Uh-huh.
But with a day less to prepare, we'll see what Patrick Mahomes' status is going to be. Could be a Carson Wentz start against the Houston Texans.
Gross.
And then the other Saturday game is that 4:30 kick, Steelers-Ravens, before the full slate of games on Sunday. Monday Night Football this week, the New Orleans Saints, who we just saw in person, at Green Bay to take on the Packers. We're in primetime back-to-back weeks because they just played on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, that's right, yeah. That deserves an Al Michaels. Here we go. New Orleans again. Yay, Dad. But, this is college football leaves a small gap. We'll fill it. The NFL doing their bit. They've also got Christmas Day games next week, too. So this is now when you got to head on a swivel for your NFL game.
No arguments or qualms from me.
Indeed.
More standalone football, the better. Because you get to see the standalone games in their entirety. It just means... You get to watch Thursday, then you got two games on Saturday, and a Monday night game. That is, you know, four games that you watched, if you carve out time, every bit of. It's fewer that games at the same time you're going to miss something on Sunday. Sunday, by the way, is going to be interesting. You have Michael Penix's debut for Atlanta against the Giants. I don't really see any way the Falcons could lose that game to the Giants, I guess if he just completely was unprepared. But there's no reason to believe that would be the case. Look how the other rookies have performed this year. And he's a guy who's played a ton of college football, was really, really good at a very high level, playing all the way to the Natty title last year. So I think he'll be fine. But that's going to be a fun game. You have the Lions and the Bears, which isn't overly intriguing in terms of who's going to win. We saw that game on Thanksgiving Day. But I am really curious to just see what Detroit looks like. 12-2, more injuries, no David Montgomery. You got Dan Campbell, who had this great radio interview. Did you hear him talking?
I didn't know.
So he was on in Detroit. And he gave this Hall of Fame pump-up chat where it was basically like, no one's going to give us a chance now, man. And we don't care if we're healthy or we're not. We'll take 11 guys out of Section 417. We're still going to go win the damn game. I mean, it's just all in on Dan Campbell. And you're like, yeah, you probably will, man. I believe you.
Yeah, you got a chance this week against the Bears.
12-2, get to 13-2. And then otherwise, obviously Philly, Washington, a lot of eyes on that game. 1 o'clock kick here. And I think Vikings, Seahawks is pretty fun.
That's intriguing.
Minnesota, Seattle, 4 o'clock game on Sunday. Seahawks have to win to keep up their wild card hopes. And they could possibly pull even with Washington in the final wild card spot if they beat the Vikings and the Commanders don't beat the Eagles.
Yeah, Geno Smith injury compounds the difficulty level for them there. That might be a Sam Howell experience.
Are we going to get a Sam Howell in a Carson Wentz weekend?
That's what you hope for if you're tuning into football in December. Another one with a little bit of intrigue, Tampa Bay and Dallas plays this weekend. Dallas, who cares? I mean, but they're doing this thing where they're playing incredibly hard and well all of a sudden for Mike McCarthy as they're winning games. Tampa's doing it with duct tape. But they're there in a pretty good position to win that division if they can kind of keep rolling. They're favorites on the road. Does Dallas have a home win yet? Or what are they, like 1-8 at home or something ridiculous? So I hope the Bluebirds come out there. But yeah, but that's another one with a little bit of transitive impact potential on Washington.
Yeah, cannot wait for more football starting tomorrow night. But the Commanders are who we're going to zero in on here with a 1 o'clock kick against the Eagles at Landover, back at Northwest Stadium. Feels like it's been a little while because they've only had the one home game dating back to really just before Thanksgiving at this point. A huge game, and they've got back-to-back home tilts against the Eagles, against the Falcons, as they barrel down the stretch. If they win two, they're going to be in the playoffs. If they win one, they might still make the playoffs depending on the help that they get. But Danny, the question we want to pose to people, and we'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this, at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What makes you nervous about this team finishing strong? Coming out of now, two of their last three not being anything what they were supposed to be, not looking as good as they were supposed to. Is there something standing between you and being ultra confident that they finish this season out the way they're supposed to?
It's 2 points for me, and they're both related. So it sounds very dismissive. I don't mean it to be. They are a one-trick pony. And what I mean is, if they're not awesome on first down, the offense isn't any good. And that's really about running the ball, right? This is who they are. When they are, you know, second and four, they're excellent. They're better than almost anybody. When that offense is right, see Tennessee, see Carolina, see, you know, when they beat up some of these bad teams, and they're ahead of the chains at all times, defenses are on their heels, they can be really, really good. When that goes away, just for whatever reason, whether, again, look at the Dallas game, look this past weekend against New Orleans, Pittsburgh at times, Philadelphia certainly made it a struggle. They don't have weaponry. They don't have the answers. Now, especially without Austin Ekeler for some time still, if he does come back, you're without Zach Ertz probably for a time. You're without Noah Brown, who wasn't great to begin with. They don't have enough counters. Now, nobody's good on 3rd and 9. That's the NFL, right? That's football. There are teams that are also, though, if even given that watered down situation, who are worse even than that. And I think Washington's one of them. Just given the fact that if you stop them on first down, you stop them. Early downs, success makes this offense good. The games where they've struggled, you've seen it. Teams that are really, really good, that are total prolific offenses, can deal with a setback. Buffalo can deal with a first down stuff of a run. Baltimore can. You pick out some of the great offenses in this sport. Detroit certainly can, although maybe it's going to be harder for them as they continue to lose weaponry. But Washington is a good offense, certainly, when it's working right. When it's not, you see the struggle. And opponent has been irrelevant when it comes to it. We thought, hey, okay, they're playing Philadelphia. That's a great defense. They struggled against Philadelphia. A lot of teams are. Well, explain Dallas to me. Explain New Orleans to me. Atlanta's defense on paper stinks. That hadn't mattered. Because if you can stop Washington on first down, a.k.a. you shove it on Brian Robinson and company, you all of a sudden can make Washington pretty pedestrian.
So the thing I'm most nervous about right now with the Commanders is their kicking game, which has not yet really cost them. But I can make the case that had that 2-point conversion have gone in, we couldn't say that anymore. Because you would have missed a 54-yard field goal that probably needs to be made. Now, you could pick nits on should they have kicked it or not. Fine. But today, neither of their kickers was at practice. Both of them, and this is amazing. This is not a knock. Both of them are having babies, it sounds like. I don't know.
Nuts.
Something was in the water or what. But both of the wives are in the hospital, hopefully, with healthy babies being born as we speak, which is a great thing. But you can kind of add that to the pile in terms of just a lot going on with these guys, the lot they're thinking about in the case of Greg Joseph and Zane Gonzalez. Zane Gonzalez, who had a plant foot issue, who was injured enough that they didn't feel like he could kick this past week. He almost went, according to what we've heard. But remember, Austin Seibert came back and was supposedly given the full clean bill of health, if you remember. And then he kicked in a game and missed a couple of field goals. Didn't look anything like he had previously. Had a bad game on kickoffs, and they put him on injured reserve. The last few weeks, the kicking situation has gone from tenuous to problematic. And they have, to their credit, been good enough for the most part that it hasn't really ended up being a huge deal. But how does anyone feel great? Like, if I was to tell you right now that Washington is going to be lining up for a 47-yarder to beat the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend, how confident are you they make it?
You feel good?
Following week, let's say you lose to the Eagles, which is supposed to happen. Now you're playing the Falcons. It's a close game. They make a few plays. Bijan Robinson rips off a 39-yard touchdown run. Michael Penix throws for, you know, $175, couple touchdowns and a pick or whatever. And you're down 23-20 with a minute to go. You get the ball. Daniels gets you down the field, but now you got to kick a 50-yarder at the gun. We sure?
Sure about that?
We sure? Two for three this past week. Is not really two for three, is it?
It wasn't, kind of.
It's really one for three.
Yeah.
Because Joseph missed the kick that he got a reprieve on thanks to triple zeros on the clock at the end of the third quarter. They missed two field goals against the Titans. They missed a field goal against the Cowboys and then the kickoff fiasco. So by my count, if we're not doing the reprieve based on nothing that they earned, just kind of a fortuitous thing, that is 1 for 5 in their last two games on field goals. 1 for 5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that one more time. 1 for 5. And in their last three games, it's 3 for 8. I am worried about this field goal situation as you level up in competition.
Smell what you're cooking there. Again, it that's if you were playing a close game. You're playing a tight one, right? Where you end up meeting those things. You don't notice when it's whatever it is. You know, 28-0 and you might miss one. Who cares? Whatever. You're already steamrolling somebody. But yeah, you're leveling up the difficulty level. You don't have a win against the team with a winning record that's any good, to be frank with you. So you want to beat some of those teams. You're going to have to, you know, harvest your nuts. You got to make a couple deep field goals. You got to make one with a crosswind. You got to make one when things aren't ideal, right? When you're hurried or you're rushed or whatever. And even with Seibert, they didn't really have a dependable guy that has a great track record of long sustained success. They thought they'd solve this thing when they signed McManus. We know how that went. It is what it is. This is whatever it is. Kicker number 7 this year, I suppose. I've lost count, to be honest with you. This is very Rivera-y in terms of that carousel. But yeah, you're 100% right. That is not a strength. It may go in, but do you feel good about it?
All right, so let's touch the people on this next. I want to open up the phones for the first time today. MGM National Harbor listener lines are yours. You can line them up. We're going to bang out calls next. We'll get through them quickly. 800-636-1067. 3 games to go. You need a couple of wins. Does anything about this operation right now have you nervous? Does anything about the Commanders have you a little timid about being confident that they get these two wins and punch a postseason ticket? You're listening to Grant and Danny. The Commanders have the Eagles, Falcons, Cowboys left on their schedule. They are 9-5, a record they have not had since 1992. They've got to win 2 of those 3 games, and they will almost certainly make the playoffs. Are you confident that they will? And really drilling deeper down, the question on the phones right now at 800-636-1067, what about this team has you the most nervous going into these final 3 games? What do you feel uneasy about? For me, it's the kicking situation. Box score won't tell you this, but we're basically 1 for 3 on their field goal attempts. in New Orleans, indoors, on carpet, using a kicker who had not previously kicked. The week before that, while they were using a kicker that had barely kicked for them, again, they were 0 for 2. And the week before that, with another kicker, because they've had three kickers in three games, I don't know if I've mentioned that, they missed a field goal. This is a thing, man. And it has not burned them yet, but it almost did in New Orleans on Sunday. And I just think as you play better teams, Philly, you're going to knock them off. You better kick your 100%. You better make all your field goals. You better hit all your extra points. You better be able to hit 54, 55
yards.
Yeah,
it's like missing
yards.
Free throws in basketball when you're trying to pull an upset.
So I just think this is an area right now where they are not playoff caliber, and it's going to rear its head.
To me, it's sort of a 1-1A. If you stop them on first down, AK, you stop the run, they don't have a counter. Their whole offense, it works when Brian Robinson and previously Austin Ekeler, whoever, was effective on early downs. They don't have the horses to get out of a too many third and sixes, third and sevens. Nobody's really good at it, but they're especially bad at it. Again, that's without Noah Brown, without really a second receiver that's capable of winning. You could see they're coverable on third downs, on those obvious passing downs. That's my biggest concern. And you've seen it a couple of times. Two of their last three games against defenses that aren't very good, you didn't manage a whole lot of offense when the run was stopped. Against Tennessee, when you ran all over them, this is great. This is so much fun. This is greatest show on turf. When that's taken away, despite the quality of the opponent, you could see how much of a struggle it is.
Let's go to Jamie, who is in Annandale, home of the Adams. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, fellas.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, so Grant, you were saying that they needed to win two of three. This time of the year, I like to go to ESPN, and they do the playoff, whatever it's called, the playoff monitor. And I got them winning one game. As long as they beat the Falcons next week, they get in, depending on, I guess, what Seattle would do. Is that right?
They can absolutely get in at 10-7, rather.
10-7,
I think there's a very good chance that could happen, but they need a lot of help. My point is, if they want to get themselves in, they've got to win two out of three. But yeah, 10-7, if the one is Atlanta, they're probably in a solid spot.
Yep.
Right. Now, as far as my concern is the same as yours. I mean, if it's coming down to kicking, would Dan Quinn be like, you know what, screw this. It's 4th and 2, 4th and 3. We're not kicking. We're going for it.
I wonder how much they're going to go on 4th down, by the way, against Philly this weekend. I'll bet you Tress Way takes the day off on plus territory.
Yeah, like hair on fire, nothing to lose kind of a thing. It's a philosophy that I have in general. And I don't know if coaches can adapt this way, because your entire message and mantra is, we'll play with anybody. We'll fight you in the parking lot. Just give us a lot, lines and a ball, and we'll get after you. And maybe you don't want to change your mentality too much, but privately, I 100% would. I'd go, we're not better than this team. If we line up and push and line up and play straight, they'll beat us 9 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10, whatever you want to do. Let's play reckless. Let's play, going against the odds a couple different times and push the pedal to the metal, maybe try to put them on the back foot a little bit. I wouldn't do that against New Orleans every time or a Tennessee or somebody that's going to pick in the top five. But if you think in your own evaluation, that group's better than my group right now, maybe you take more chances and more risks, because what's going to happen if they don't work out? You lose? You're pretty much already there.
This goes to some extent into what you were saying, where if they get into second and long, they're in trouble. They are also, as healthy as they've been and as lucky as they've been this year at keeping most of their key guys on the field, they now all of a sudden are getting thinner and thinner offensively with playmakers. Guys that can actually turn first downs into touchdowns, turn 5 into 15. Like, where is it coming from? It's kind of Terry McLaurin and ... which was the knock on this team before the season, which I didn't think was all that fair. And we've seen Noah Brown and Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler, among others, really step up and help them. Zach Ertz has played a really valuable role. I know everybody likes to poke fun at some of his weaknesses, but Zach Ertz has been an invaluable asset and a tremendous player for them. And people are going to find out this week, potentially, just how much they miss him on some of those 3rd and 4th and shorts and mediums. But Danny, of their top four pass catchers, 3 are out if Zach Ertz doesn't play this weekend. Ekeler, we talked to yesterday, still not available to come back until the final week of the season. Ertz and Noah Brown. That leaves only Terry McLaurin among their top four receivers catching balls this year available. At some point, that matters. Like, I'm trying to think of the game when Terry just couldn't catch a pass and wasn't involved and they never threw it to him and the defense really shut him down. Oh, yeah, it was the Eagles game.
Oh, that's right.
What happened to their offense that night? It stunk.
Mm-hmm.
If Terry McLaurin isn't making plays, what does this offense look like? It's kind of a pray that Jaden runs around and does something. We've seen that a few times this year, by the way, where nothing's happening offensively. Someone's taking Terry out of the game, and now what? And it's like Daniels runs or they have nothing. You're not that far from that.
Yeah, you don't want to be there
every single week at this point, just because there's so many guys unavailable who would be able to make a play or two for you.
This is kind of the issue here, right? Like, it's not always about the home run. I mean, obviously, that's what, if you find that, you find a Tyreek Hill in his prime or DeSean Jackson or otherwise, that's awesome. But to me, the Eckler thing, and I've talked about this a million times, you turn 2 into 12, and it's easy that way. It's like you could see it against Cincinnati with the way they started the game. Eckler right, Eckler left, you're now past midfield. Just like that, after the kickoff return. That tells you that they get it, right? Like, you get Daniels into a rhythm, you get the offense into the rhythm, you get everybody, Lyman, you guys get to engage one time and you block. Eckler, you know, runs for double digits. You flip it over to a quick little hitch pass or a tunnel screen or something like that. He turns it into 12, 13, 14 yards. Boom, now you're rolling. Your offense is now humming. Everybody's in rhythm. Everyone's got it going. He makes it easy. They don't have that without him. Right? I mean, you'd love a deep threat too, but beggars can't be choosers.
Let's go to Zeus in Fort Washington on Grant and Danny. Zeus, what about the Commanders makes you a little nervous as far as them getting 2 out of these final 3?
First of all, Grant Danny, it's your resident Philadelphia Eagle fan chiming in on Eagles Week. I already know this is going to be a big game, but the way I look at it, at this point, there are 3 teams at the top of the NFC who you can pretty much guarantee on. The rest of the teams after that is a pretty huge gap. But there are teams that have taken advantage of opportunities, and I personally feel that Washington is one of those teams. Granted, there's a lot of injuries that's going on right now with the team, and the offensive line is a little shaky, and you don't have Eckler. But I think they're still in a position where they're trending in a direction where they can take advantage of the opportunity and find themselves in the push. Especially when you look at a team like Atlanta, who's fallen by the wayside. I think Tampa Bay is vulnerable. And then you look at the rest of the field, maybe Green Bay is your best. Like, okay, of the middle of the pack, they're the best. But other than that, I think Washington is right there. And again, the way the season's been going, they're trending in the right direction, that the wild card right now is your ceiling. And from there, you build up for next year. But I don't see any reason why not Washington should be able to push their way into the postseason. That's just my outlook.
Yeah, so
thank you, buddy.
I think most people are expecting them to make the playoffs. It would be pretty stunning if they didn't. They got a 90% chance to get in. I mean, we're not necessarily asking if you think they get in. I think that'd be lazy. We're asking, what is making you nervous, if anything, about this team, the way they're playing? They lost to the Cowboys, and they almost lost to the Saints. 2 games they absolutely should have won pretty comfortably over their last 3. They've got the 1 impressive win basically over 7 contests now, and that was their blowout victory over the Tennessee Titans. The Commanders at 9-5, by the way, looking up at 10-4 Green Bay, the only team they can catch. That's the 6th seed. The Vikings now at 12-2 are pretty comfortably the top wild card team. But let's go through what he just talked about as an exercise real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So remember when they were 7-2?
Yep.
You and I went through and said how many teams in the NFC are better than them right now? I would ask the same question at this moment, team by team. If they played Detroit on the road this weekend, how would you feel? In a playoff game.
Yeah, Detroit should be favored. They're better.
Is that a game you could see them winning if, you know, at 4 out of 5 out of 10 times?
No.
Okay.
Less
even
than
with
that.
All the injuries.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think it's lopsided, but the injuries.
It's not as lopsided as a couple weeks ago.
The injuries give me a little pause. Like, mm-hmm. To this point, I have said every step of the way I'd rather play Philly a third time than the Lions in the opening round of the playoffs. I don't know if I still feel that way. I think I might rather play at Detroit indoors than outside in Philly in the opening round of the playoffs.
And you know either place is going to be nuts. I mean, those Detroit fans will be in a frenzy.
Yeah, because my logic on that was beating a team 3 times is hard if Philly has beaten them twice. And it's in the division. Those games are just more of a toss-up. Like, there's a familiarity there. It's more comfortable.
Yeah, maybe you get a weird game that's a rock fight, and I'll take my chances
exactly.
there.
Exactly. You're going to a stadium you were at like 6 weeks ago, so it's not as weird. The travel's easy. But Detroit is so injured, and their defense is at a point now where I would say it's kind of bad. Like, their defense is not good.
Yeah.
Is Washington's weaponry good enough to take advantage? I'm not sure. But if Daniels played a really good football game, I could see them scoring 24-27 in a playoff game against Detroit. And now it's like, can you turn Jared Goff over? You know, without David Montgomery, what's that offense look like? So I think this second, and maybe it changes again, I'm leaning toward rather playing the Lions than the Eagles.
As of this moment, I think I agree with you. Again, you're not favoring on either one. You're decidedly not as good a team as either of those guys. But I see your point, and I think you're probably right. I think it's just the injuries for me that have done it. In Philadelphia, despite all the quote-unquote discord, just ho-hum 10 straight wins, beat people pretty soundly.
Is there another team, though, if we say Detroit and Philly are separated as the best teams in the conference? Mm-hmm. I mean, Minnesota has the same record as those two. Like, people sleep on that.
Yeah.
The Vikings, Lions, and Eagles all have the same record. We keep talking about this like it's those two teams for the one seed. Minnesota's got a legitimate chance at the one seed, home field throughout, having a bye, which is pretty staggering. But would you put Minnesota or Green Bay in the conversation as that's a team Washington can't play with?
No, not as a can't play. But again, I think they're a dramatic step above where Washington is, both of those teams, Minnesota and Green Bay.
I think they are too.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay?
Right now, pretty even.
I agree.
Even though, I mean, I know what happened week one, and people could point to that, and that's fine. That's a lifetime ago.
No, but that's a game that if you play them in the playoffs, yeah, that's kind of a pick 'em type game. Mm-hmm. What about the Rams?
Similar.
I agree.
Yeah.
So we've got, if we're doing tiers, Detroit, Philly, Green Bay, Minnesota, maybe two different tiers, but all ahead of Washington, mm-hmm, and then the Commanders with like Tampa and the Rams.
Part of that same bucket. Yeah.
I think that's about right. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in? We'll give you a double play next. Plus, we've got an announcement to make on the show today at 4:30 that we're pretty fired up about. And I will just tell you, if you need a last-minute holiday gift,
oh, look at that,
you may want to be listening at 4:30. We're Grant and Danny. He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Double play every day this time, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Each and every day, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports. Remember, we got Wizards tickets, top of the hour in 15 minutes. We got Caps tickets at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, about an hour and 15 minutes from right now.
Had a little informal meeting this morning with the lady wife, and I believe I can officially declare with the hit of complete purchase, we are done with our Christmas shopping.
Attaboy.
We did it. We did it. Oh my God. First of all, okay, on several fronts. One, that really escalated quickly. Brick killed a guy. Two, the gift that I want is to save money. So that's what I've asked for to Santa, and to her and to my kids and to you guys. So let's all save money. That's going to be the big thing that we do to give the gift to Dad. It's the gift of thriftiness and being frugal. We're going to do that for a while.
Sounds that's a lot. Very unfun.
Yeah, I don't give a damn about fun. I had my fun. I went to New Orleans and I gained a bunch of weight. I've had enough of the spending. There's so much spending. It's all just, I know what we're doing. I signed up for it. I get it. But that's enough. That's the end of that.
Aren't you excited to give people nice presents?
Of course.
In the holidays?
Of course, 100%. It's what I signed up for. And I okayed a couple major expenditures on that front, right?
You okayed them?
Of course I did. This is the whole point. It's why we work. It's why we do it.
Have you taken the kids to see Santa?
No. No. They're too old for that. Anyway.
One of your kids is 6.
Almost 7.
He's not too old. That's literally the age where you go see Santa.
Sure.
Where you send your letter.
Somebody could. What was that? Oh, yeah. So, holiday magic.
You were talking about the part where you don't like the holidays.
No, it's wonderful. Holiday magic is parental work. I'm happy to do it. It's what I signed up for. We did the work, though. It's over. It's time. Let's stop the spending. That's what we're looking for, is an end. We did it. It was the right thing to do. I'm going to do it again next year. It's why I do all the extra things. It's why I do the cameo.com/drouillet. It's why I work. It's why I do the endorsements. It's why I'm doing voiceover ads. It's why I do private coaching. All the extra stuff, the extra scratch. It's for this. Now we did this. Let's not spend a dollar for like 6 months.
That's when are we going to take the kids to see Santa?
Who's we?
You and me. We're going to take them to the mall to see Santa.
What a terrible idea. I'm not doing that.
Have they sent Byron sent his letter off to Santa yet?
Yeah, we did that.
Okay. And did Santa give him a call from the North Pole?
Did Santa call him?
Yeah.
No, Santa didn't call him.
You got to schedule a call with Santa.
Is that a thing in all sincerity?
Yeah, you just... So Santa calls.
Who does it?
Santa.
Does he?
He calls.
He does it.
He's like, hey, James.
What do you do, 1-800-SANTA? And then he just calls?
What do you want for Christmas this year? I got your letter. And nothing like that? Nothing.
No. But do people do that?
Santa calling kids?
Yeah.
Of course.
That's a thing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know what else is a thing? Huh. Taking your kids to the mall to sit on Santa's lap so they can tell Santa what they want. For a lot of people, that's a thing.
Sure, many people do that. And that's why I don't do it. Just waiting in line.
There's no you can pre-order all these things now.
Mm-hmm.
You can book a time. There's no lines anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be in a line, you can be in a line.
What if you don't want to be in a line?
Slacks did it, no line. I do it, no line. I mean, it's just a thing. It's so easy. So fun. You get to see the kids smile. That's the dream.
Cry and scream, being on a stranger's lap. That's the best. That's the memory.
The magic of the holidays,
that's
man.
That's the holiday magic right there. Just parental effort.
All right. That's your line. I forgot it. There it is. The magic of the holidays, Danny Ruye. Parental effort.
Yeah, it's parental effort for the kids. That's the whole point. It's why you do it. It's for them, to make them very happy. And that's what we're setting out to do, and we did it. Now let's shut that valve off.
So I'm proud that you are done chopping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, I don't think. Yeah. I don't think I'm close.
Well, don't you and your brother love the bit of going like Christmas Eve at like midnight to try to
buy? In the day when I was like, I mean, when I was at home, me and my brother would go to the mall. Yeah, growing up, that was a thing. But now it's hard because I got kids and we got the whole deal. So I got to get this done. I got to make moves.
Mm-hmm.
One of the next couple of days, might be tonight, might be tomorrow. I don't know when. I'm going to have to go do some shopping after the show probably. Just knock a bunch of stuff off the list because you start to get that anxiety building up of like, when am I going to do this?
So the thing that I got for you, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's like, it's not that much fun. I think it's one of those like, hey, I think you could use this kind of deals. You know what I mean?
I like that.
But I feel like it's a combo of thoughtful and practical.
Thoughtful and practical is a great gift.
Right. It's not frivolous. It's not like, hey, get your skydiving lessons. Live a little.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I hope you didn't do that.
Yeah. I didn't this time.
This time you
did. This
time. It is time for my double play. I will make this very, very quick, Danny. I want to watch the movie Carry On Netflix. It looks awesome. If anybody's seen it, please tweet me. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, it's in my queue. Jason Bateman going, hey, bud.
Yeah, it's Jason Bateman, I think, as the bad guy, from what I can gather. It's Taron Egerton, who I'm always amazed actors can just sound like they're from here that aren't. How do they do that?
It's a little too easy. Yeah, I'm with you.
I know you're a British guy. I know you have an accent, but then in the trailer, you're just a guy from like Dunedin, Florida or something.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But anyway, he's in this movie as I can't tell if he's a pilot or possibly a flight marshal.
I thought he was like a TSA dude.
Oh, maybe he is. He sits there and scans mm-hmm. and looks at your ID or whatever, but he finds a message and he's got to go do something. It looks like it's a 10 out of 10. And it's just a Netflix original OG. You know, I'm big on Jason Bateman. Mm-hmm. Can't get enough of him. This is a must watch for me.
Did you do Ozark, by the way?
I watched a season of it. Like most shows, when there's a several-month break, you lose me. But I watched the first season.
How to get you? It's such a delicate sweet spot for you to be able to pay attention through a show.
Miniseries, man. Movie or, 6-8 episode miniseries.
Yeah.
Let's knock it out in a week and let's move on to
captivating content and a lot of anticipation for more.
I love that too.
Yeah.
And it's always good.
Yeah.
Next, we got Wizards tickets and a Beltway Blitz for you. Some news potentially trickling out on the RFK site. Just how sure are we? Everything's going to go swimmingly. We'll get into that in about 35 minutes on The Fan. And remember, at 4:30 today, our show announcement, you will want to hear if you are a mark of 106.7 The Fan in this radio program. For G&D.